sermon scripture today comes in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at the 23rd through the 26th verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the 23rd through the 26th verses. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And Lord, we do lift up the remainder of this service to you. On this Memorial Day weekend, that we will do as you command, that we will remember you. Remember you not vaguely. Remember you not in ways that other people have spoken about you, but remember you for who you really are, for what you have done, and for what you have done in our lives. We ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Let's test your knowledge today. Okay, let's test your knowledge. I'm going to give you a quiz as we head into the sermon. I always like to do that. Used to like to do that as a teacher, and the kids used to accuse me of being cruel because I would give them quizzes, at unexpected times. Well, I haven't lost my mean streak, so I'm going to do the same thing today. Okay? Simple question. Memorial Day used to be known as? Yeah, I was gasping there for a minute. I thought, is anybody going to get it? Decoration Day. And the origins of it, it kind of popped up a little bit here and there after the Civil War. But here's kind of the origins of it. Soldiers' graves have been decorated since ancient times. But it wasn't until 1868, by the way, 150 years ago this weekend, that General John Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of Union veterans founded in Decatur, Illinois, established Decoration Day as a time to decorate the graves of the Union War dead with flowers. And that kind of morphed into our modern day Memorial Day. Now, I gave you just a couple of facts about that to make a point. I had to look up those details. I had to look them up. I don't know them by heart. I consider Memorial Day a very important commemoration. There's nothing that can be more important than honoring those who gave their lives for our freedom. But I don't know well the details of how the holiday came about. But yet it's only been 150 years. 150 years, a relatively short period of time. But many of the details have been lost to common knowledge. I say that to say this. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus walked the earth, he said and did the most important things that have ever been said and done. And if you wanted to understand what Jesus was talking about then and now, you had to have an understanding of the Old Testament, because what he said was based on the scripture of the time, which was the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the collective memory of the Jewish people. They were sticklers for accuracy. And Jesus affirmed that. He affirmed the accuracy of the scriptures. I cannot imagine a more unsettling or devastating affliction than to have amnesia. I have never known anyone personally who's had amnesia. But to not know who you are, to not know where you've come from, to not know anything about your background, those things are the foundation of who you are today. And to not know those things rips your whole identity away. But apart from an affliction like amnesia robbing our memories, we all have a natural tendency to forget, especially with the passage of time. Or if we don't completely forget, we don't accurately remember. And that's happening a lot, and it's happening in a lot of churches. We don't accurately remember who Jesus is. Now, the Lord's the one who made us. He's aware of our weaknesses and our tendency to forget. And that is one of the main reasons He instituted communion. When He instituted communion, He said specifically, do this in remembrance of me. And there's no hidden meaning there. There's no hidden meaning there. He meant exactly what He said. And so when we partake of communion, when we break the bread, we're to reflect and remember on what He did, how He went to the cross for us. When we partake of the cup, we are to remember and reflect on His blood that was shed for us. Now, if Jesus was just an ordinary man, it would be a statement of ego to say, oh, remember me, remember me. But He's God Almighty. He's God's Son. And so when He said, do this in remembrance of me, He didn't say, I suggest. He didn't say, I hope you will. He simply said, do it. It's a command from Him that we not forget. That we not forget. He wanted us to accurately understand who He is, and He wanted us to accurately understand what He's done. Now, I've talked about this previously. I haven't seen this for decades, and I believe my sister has it now. Janice and I haven't seen my siblings for a long, long time, and I haven't been down to my hometown of Marietta for, I don't believe I've been down since I've been here. And so we're going to go down this Friday. We've done some work on my parents' gravestone. We're going to go down and take a look at that, and I want to visit my siblings. I believe my sister has now an old family Bible that I saw as a youngster. And it is an enormous thing. I mean, it probably weighs 30 pounds or so. I mean, it's a huge, huge thing. And it has, as I remember, some family history written in it. It has some very, very old, like from the 1800s and before, family history written in it. And I remember seeing this a long time ago. There are discharge papers of an ancestor of mine. There's discharge papers in there from where he was released after the Civil War on the Union side. And not only that, in that same Bible was a lock of his hair. But that's kind of a consequential thing. It's kind of a consequential thing that a member of my family was involved intimately in a pivotal moment in history like that. But you know what? I don't remember his name. I don't remember his name. That short a time has gone by, a little over 150 years, and someone of consequence in my family has been all but forgotten. Is it possible that we can forget? Is it possible that we might not accurately remember Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. And that's precisely the reason he said, do this in remembrance of me. The consequences of forgetting, or the consequences of not accurately remembering, are all around us. And even in churches today, it's possible to forget who he is. In a lot of places, and it's proclaimed in a lot of churches, Jesus is considered a good man, a good teacher, a wonderful example. But if that's as far as it goes, it is so far from the truth of who he is. So today, on this Memorial Day weekend, let us remember who Jesus is. And I want to read to you a selection of scripture. It is my favorite scripture passage describing who Jesus is. If you have a Bible near you, I would encourage you to open this up. Open up your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to begin with the 13th verse, and I'm going to share some kind of running commentary as I read 10 verses, 13 through 23. For he, speaking of the Father there, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you have salvation today, that salvation came through Jesus Christ. Because according to the Bible and according to Christ's own words, there is salvation to be found in no other. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you have salvation today, that is a gift that has been granted to you by Jesus Christ, by what he endured and taking our sins upon himself on the cross. The Son, it says there in verse 15, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Apart from the Gospels, we don't really have a good description of who God the Father is. You might catch glimpses, say, in the Old Testament, when Elijah wanted to catch a glimpse of God. And so what did God do? God put him in the crevice of a rock, and then God passed by, and Elijah kind of caught a glimpse of the aftermath of God passing by. But no one really understands or knows what God looks like, no, until the New Testament, when God the Son comes to earth. And Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He is the image, the exact image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And by firstborn, it doesn't mean he was born or created in the sense of a normal birth. No, that word, when it's translated, it simply means he's always been there. He's God Almighty. He's first. He's first. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. You go outside after church here and you look around and everything you see has been created by Jesus Christ. If scientists this week, if they announce some new discovery that they have found through the Hubble Space Telescope or some other method, and they look out and they see millions of light years away, and they discover some new planet, and about once every couple of months they'll say, oh, there's been a new planet discovered, and it looks like it might be habitable, and it might be like another Earth, and it's millions and millions of light years away. If you find whatever has been created right outside your door or millions of light years away, it has been created through Jesus Christ. Everything. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. I often say he is not only the creator, he not only created all things, but he's the sustainer of all things. He is truly the one who holds all things together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Folks, there's only one head of this church, and that is Jesus Christ. And if that ever changes, if you ever get a pastor up here that tells you something that's contrary to the teachings of Christ, if you ever have a denominational leader that teaches something that's contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ, get out. Get out, because Jesus Christ is the head of his church. And he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything he might have the supremacy. The only reason you and I have hope to rise from the dead is because Jesus Christ already has. He is the firstborn of those, or the first fruits of those who have risen from the dead. And he said, because I have risen from the dead and I have defeated death, when you trust me, I will give you that same victory. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That's why we can say with confidence, Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God. Because all the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus here on earth, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Right now we're going through I guess if you might want to call them negotiations, you know, we're trying to work things out with North Korea so that they don't shoot missiles our way, and we don't have to go and shoot missiles their way. And so they're negotiating. They're trying to, you might say, try and work out a peace treaty so that we can be, if in a sense, reconciled with them. We were enemies with God because of our sin. And Jesus Christ is called the great mediator. He came, and through his sacrifice, through what he did, he reconciled us to God the Father when we accept him as our Savior. And so he did all these things. Through him, reconciled all things to himself, things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once we were alienated from God, we're enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. You ever hear a little voice whispering in your ear accusing you of, I don't know, messing up, or saying you're not good enough, or saying some kind of derogatory thing? That voice is not the Lord's. That voice is not the Lord's, because it says right here, he does not accuse us. And so, folks, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is who he is. That is who he is. Not just a great teacher, not just a wonderful person, not just a martyr. He is the Almighty Son of God. One of my favorite songs, it's because, not particularly because of the tune, but because of the lyrics. I love the lyrics of this song. This song is about 20 years or so old, and I may have even used it in a service before here, I'm not sure. But it so wonderfully illustrates the preeminence of Jesus all throughout history and all throughout the Bible. As we play this song for you now, it's called He Is. I want you to listen to the lyrics. I want you to reflect on our Lord and Savior. And I want you in your heart to lift him up and exalt him. Let's all stand, please. We're going to close in a little bit of a different way today. Rather than singing a song or even having a closing prayer, I'm going to open it up to all of you. If any of you would like just to give a short prayer of praise to the great I am, the great he is, let's just close the service today by offering up our praises to him. Nobody has to, but if the Lord leads you and you'd like to lead out in prayer, lead out in a prayer of praise to the great I am.